This morning's Old Testament reading can be found on page 59. Story of Moses and the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3, reading verses 1 to 14. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our New Testament reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, beginning at verse 4. You can find it on page 1037 of the Pew Bibles. Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way they are choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Word of the Lord.
Amen.
Open our hearts to you and allow our hearts to be like good soil, ready for the seed to be implanted into them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I do hope that you'll turn with me in the Pew Bibles to page 1037. It's that parable of the sower. I know it is quite a familiar parable, but I do think it'll be very useful for you to have the Bible open in front of you. That's page 1037, and it's Luke chapter 8. Well, on Sunday mornings over the summer, we're going to read some parables together, and this is the first of them, the sower. And it really has to be the first, because Jesus says that this parable will explain all the other parables. So the parable of the sower, it is such a familiar parable about the farmer sowing the seed, which lands in different parts of the field, and about what happens to the seed and then to the plant as it tries to grow. It's one of the best known stories in the whole world. But before we really get into it, before we get to the four types of soil, I would like you to please notice the setting for it, the setting for the parable. I've called it a small seed and a large field. The setting is a large field, a large crowd. So if you do look with me at verse 4, please, we read this. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. And then he goes on to tell the parable. But look on down to verse 11, please, just for a crucial verse in our understanding of this. Verse 11. "This is the meaning of the parable," says Jesus. "The seed is the word of God." So the first point of significance here is that there is a great crowd coming to Jesus. We've seen vast crowds at Wimbledon this week, vast crowds in Brazil for the World Cup. But in Jesus' day, the vast crowds were coming to see him, the charismatic, magnetic, captivating personality of Jesus, the rabbi from Nazareth. Thousands simply wanted to be near him. Verse 4, from town after town they come. It's not surprising because in the previous chapter we're told about all the healings that Jesus has done. So he makes the blind see, he makes the lame walk, he makes the lepers clean, he even raises the dead. If I had been sick, if you had been sick, we would have been in this large crowd too. And some in this massive crowd were there not just to be healed, but to meet with the Messiah, They believed that Jesus was the long-promised Messiah. After all, he was fulfilling all the Old Testament promises about the Messiah, who would perform all these miracles that have happened. And here was Jesus actually performing them. So it must be him. He must be the Messiah. And also, when the Messiah came, he would come to build his kingdom. So he would kick out the Romans, who were occupying Israel, they thought, and reinstate the kingdom of God's people. And this Jesus is even talking about the kingdom. He's telling stories about the kingdom. So it all seems to fit, all except for one thing. Jesus is not really talking about that sort of kingdom. He's not raising an army up to kick out the Romans. In fact, all he is doing is telling some stories and preaching some sermons. Maybe it doesn't sound very exciting, does it? He calls it sowing the seed. Jesus will sow some seed, planting it in good soil, letting it grow for hundreds of years, so as the spores of the kingdom will spread all over the world. And then he will return for the harvest, ready to reap the fruit which that sowing has produced. So what is the seed that Jesus is sowing, and what are we to sow? Well, we're told there in verse 11, the seed is the word of God. And it's impossible to overestimate this brief sentence, the importance of this brief sentence in verse 11, taught to us by Christ, that the seed is the word of God. And I want to ask you this morning, do you believe Jesus when he says that? Do you believe what Jesus says, that the kingdom of God is brought about through the planting, through the sharing of the word of God? Sadly, through the ages, the church has not always believed it. So in the Middle Ages, it was bread and wine that was thought to bring the kingdom close. And in our day, it's so easy to put other things at the top of the Christian agenda, believing that those things will grow the kingdom. But they won't. No, it's not communion or the sacraments that will produce growth. It's not the church's liturgy, whether ancient or modern, formal or informal, that will increase the kingdom. It's not our singing, our chanting, our so-called worship that is to be sown. No, it's not. It's not our good works, our religion, our politics, or anything else. I mean, these things can be fine in themselves, but they can be equally as distraction from our calling as a church. They're secondary things because, verse 11, the seed is the word of God. And so do you see why this is Jesus' first and number one parable? Get it wrong and we'd be off on a complete tangent in our Christian lives and in our church life as well. The seed is the word of God. Now, the word of God is the Bible, but in particular, it is the gospel. The good news that the king has come to introduce his kingdom. The good news that King Jesus has come to die for sinners and to rise again. This message is the seed, and it's a message that's contained in all the Bible. So in the Old Testament, King Jesus and his work was predicted, and in the New Testament, it is fulfilled. So a large crowd and a small seed. And that's the first thing to notice about this key parable. Many people come investigating Jesus. The word of God is scattered all over them. There's widespread proclamation and speaking, widespread broadcast. And unlikely as it seems, this is the mechanism that God uses to change lives and for saving people into his kingdom. So please, let's trust Jesus in what he says here. Don't doubt his method for growing the kingdom. And please don't change his method either. If you want to see the kingdom grow, have confidence in the word. Talk to people about Jesus Christ about what he has done for you and for them, and allow the seed to grow in them and also in your own life. I mean, some of you will be going on holiday this month. What's the first thing that you pack? Is it your Bible? Is it your Bible reading notes? Are you thinking, you know, what I really need here is a good holiday to recharge the batteries? Or are you thinking, what I really need here is time spent with God to renew my commitment to him, to read his word? There's always something new to find in it. Even if you've been reading it all your life, don't think of it as stale. There are fresh truths to be dug up every day. Pack your Bible. Read it for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, for half an hour. You'll come back from your holiday properly refreshed. Well, let's move on in the parable. The sower appears to sow at random. So not all the seed falls on fertile soil. There's much wastage. So a small seed and large wastage. In fact, Jesus seems to tell this parable by saying that about three quarters of the seed will find unproductive ground. So three quarters of the crowd will not be good soil, but rather ground which could be stony, thorny, or along the path. Now, we probably know this parable so well that we don't need to spend too long on this, but just for a moment, let's think about the path. Verse 12, where Jesus is explaining the parable, he says in verse 12, "Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved." You see, Jesus is very candid and open about the wastage, about the waste of effort that sharing the word seems to be. As he explains the parable to his disciples, he's looking out over a vast crowd. I suppose some of us would possibly call that crowd, those listeners, converts. I mean, they've come out from their homes to hear him. That might indicate some spiritual response, but not necessarily. Jesus explains that this is a very mixed crowd. Some are totally hardened against what he has to say. They've got hearts as hard as a compact pathway. Because even though they've come to hear his word, it simply bounces off them. Their defiant hearts are coated with a kind of a non-stick substance, a kind of a spiritual Teflon, so nothing sticks to them. Perhaps they think that they're too sophisticated for a simple agricultural parable about sowing a seed. But notice who Jesus identifies as responsible for this defiance. Verse 12, the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, he says. And Jesus is convinced that a personal evil is discrediting the word, sowing his own seeds of doubt. Now, every preacher encounters this devilish opposition to the word. Perhaps he's at work amongst us this morning. Bishop J.C. Ryle, in his comments on this parable, said, "Let us beware of the devil, we will always find him at church." And what he means is that we will always find him where the word is being sown. So every time we meet, the devil is present. Certainly he's ready to swoop down like a hungry bird to snatch away the word, away from those hearts that are like a hard pathway. But then there's more wastage than that, because next Jesus describes the rocky ground and the thorny ground. It's not always easy to distinguish between the two. They both describe people who make a decision about Christ, but it's a very superficial decision, I'm afraid, because the word is not allowed to grow and develop within them. So those with hearts like stony ground, they have an initial enthusiasm, clearly. Perhaps they've put their hand up at a mission or at a children's camp or they've gone through confirmation. But almost immediately they disappear. And sadly, we all know people like this, don't we? They're never seen at church. or in Christian circles again. So despite their initial profession, they proved not to be true Christians at all. The seed has not been able to penetrate into their stony hearts. It's unable to dig down to get any root. With thorny ground, it's not the root that's the problem. The seed does go down a little bit deeper here. So they profess a Christian faith. They start off well. But as time goes by, the Lord Jesus becomes less and less significant to them. And they get preoccupied and distracted from Christ. So in youth, they might be distracted by success at school, at their studies, at sport, takes them away from Christian things. In midlife, perhaps it's their career or their family even, which takes up all of their time, strangling that commitment to the Lord. In old age, perhaps it's their health or the garden or whatever it might be that they become fixated upon. They're like thorny ground. Church becomes less and less important. True faith is choked by whatever else is going on in their lives. And I think that even if you are a Christian, you have to watch out for thorns and weeds. I mean, when was the last time you did some weeding, some spiritual weeding, pulling up a few plants that are choking your faith, removing a few pleasures that are suffocating your Christianity, deliberately, intentionally freeing up time to come to church where you know that you will hear the word, or making time to join a home group, or just making time to read the word for yourself each morning and evening, pondering it, praying over it, and persevering at it, keeping going till you're 80 or 90 or 95, reading his word, growing the seed in your heart. Otherwise, without weeding, without tending the garden, there will be no fruit. Now, we'll get to the harvest in a minute, but why for some believers is there so very little harvest? I mean, why do some apple trees produce no apples? My mother has some apple trees at her back, but one of them never produces anything. And it's the same for Christians. For some Christians, they don't tend and care for the garden of their hearts. They don't look after their own spiritual life. So they never get involved in any gospel ministry or ministry of teaching the word. And then they wonder why there's no harvest. Well, it starts with pulling up the weeds in our own life and allowing the seed of the word space to grow. Okay, so far this morning we've seen how the kingdom of God begins only through scattering the word, the sowing of a tiny seed all over a large field. And then secondly, we've seen that there's much wastage of the seed. There's several types of unresponsive heart which will not receive the word. That's to be expected. But now, more positively, we discover from Jesus that there will be those who do actually accept the word. And not only that, but the good soil in their hearts will produce a crop as they spread the word themselves. So our third point is still a small seed, but there will be a large harvest. Let me read again verse 8, just to show you what I mean from Jesus. Verse 8, and some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. So there's the harvest. And then if you go down to verse 15, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. And also, please, if you look down into verse 16, which is part of the flow of this parable, verse 16, that's why I read it earlier. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. You see, Jesus follows on from our parable, the sower, by talking about putting a lamp on a stand. Because this mini parable, the one about the lamp, is for good soil hearts. So if we have received the word and it has started to grow inside us, then here is how you are to behave, says Jesus. You're to be like a 100-watt lamp shining so as everyone can see it. What he means is that we're not to be reserved when it comes to the gospel. I suppose by nature many of us are reserved, especially men. And nobody likes a pushy evangelist anyway. But when it comes to sowing the seed, we must overcome our reticence, our reservations. And we must not think that someone else will sow it on our behalf instead of us either. Jesus says it's very strange behaviour not to be a witness for him. It's like lighting a lamp and putting it under a bed. It's as daft as that. We've had to try furniture in different positions around the rectory after our move. But even we don't put lamps behind the door or under a chair. I mean, we want to give maximum light. And it's the same with the gospel. The gospel, by definition, is light. It is light for this dark, murky, sinful world. It's the only light that this world has. And so Christians must overcome whatever shyness or reservation we have and start to share it boldly. We have to start being open about our Christian faith. So letting our families know how important it is to us. That there's nothing more important for them than to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, like we do. Teaching our children and our grandchildren Bible stories. I mean, when your grandchildren come for the afternoon, do you tell them a story? Make it a Bible story. Well, they're the best ones anyway. Say a prayer with them. Or teaching other people's children in Sunday school or messy church. Or just talking with our friends and neighbours. Telling someone that you'll pray for them if they've got a worry or a concern. You're being a witness. You're letting your light shine. And it may produce a crop. This is the way to reap a harvest. By living out your faith. By shining out with a good Christian life. While still sharing the word. Speaking up for Jesus. Letting the seed land on various hearts. Yes, there will be wastage. It's the same seed, but the hearts it lands in are made up of different types of soil. They'll react in different ways. But some hearts will be fertile, ready for the word, ready for the gospel. And that will be your harvest. One person could even sow a harvest that in time will produce a hundredfold. Verse 8, a hundredfold. It could be you. Well, it's a marvellous parable, as we would expect from Jesus. A parable of the kingdom. About entering it. About growing it. And the seed is the word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we pray that you would enable each one of us to take the words of Jesus with deadly seriousness, and that you would allow us to have hearts to begin with that are like good soil, allowing the word of God to fall into those hearts, fertile hearts, and to produce a crop. Enable us who know you to speak of you, to speak of Jesus, to speak of the things of God, so that there will be a harvest. And that there will be a crop. And we pray it all for the glory of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.